I think there's a lot of sort of pressure on people to be kind in a certain way. And that's been one of the biggest learning experiences I've had working on this project, is that kindness does not mean you are Mr. Rogers or somebody like that, right? I won't be defined by your dreams, committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own thing, keep up the hustling.
Welcome to Hustleberg. Thank you for sharing your time with us as we chat with entrepreneurs here in St. Petersburg, Florida. We talk about how they got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle because I found that most entrepreneurs lack the time and expertise to build their own digital marketing strategy and still get results. As an entrepreneur here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners about what they do and sharing that conversation with you. Now, you may have noticed a few changes with the podcast lately. One of the biggest is that we're now doing video. So if you're only listening to this episode, whether it's on your favorite podcast player, RadioStPete.com, or Sunshine 96.7 FM, please know that this episode and all future episodes are available for you to view on YouTube and BeyondYourSideHustle.com. Just visit BeyondYourSideHustle.com/YouTube to subscribe or to watch your favorite episode of Hustleberg. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe. And if you would, also rate and review the episode as well, because it sends us the right signals to know how the conversations add value for you. Finally, if you're interested in being a guest in an upcoming episode and you own a small business here in St. Pete, let us know by visiting BeyondYourSideHustle.com/podcast guest. So Dylan, why is spreading kindness so important to you?
Personally, for me, it is a very, I don't know. It's something I've been trying to figure out exactly why I started doing it. I think there were some life events where it just, you know, it's just one of those things where you're just like, I want to start doing this. What I've learned from whatever the heck that spark happened to be was it is kind of a selfish reason. Ultimately, I think one of the things that kind of terrifies me and fascinates me is just the concept of like memory. I think it was Conan O'Brien who has a quote, something along the lines of, you know, there's kind of like two times that you die in life. And we're getting real deep real fast, by the way, with this. That's kind of
That's great.
but it's kind of when you die twice, right? It's the biological death. And then there's the moment in history when your legacy dies and like you stop having an impact on the world. And I think
Macklemore actually does a really good job. He talks about in Glorious, you die twice. The first time is when you physically die, and the second time is the last time somebody mentions your name.
Yeah, exactly. And that sort of concept is just something that's really profound to me, I guess. And I think that's really like the underlying reason of why the things that I do are so important, because you know, I feel like I'm the hero of my story. And I feel like maybe if I can share that with people, they will feel better about whatever they might be going through. Mainly because I wish I had that when I was going through difficult times in my life. So it's kind of a weird trying to build a legacy kind of thing. And honestly, like kindness is just one of the easier ways to do that. I think people listen. And I guess I feel like I have things to say, and also I learn a lot from other people too, by being kind, you know, because being kind requires a lot of empathy. And so it just naturally opens up my ears and I learn a lot to get me through things that I might have thought about without other people providing that perspective. So, I think that's why. I'm not completely sure, but it's a learning process.
You started Live for Another as a much smaller project. It started out as My Best Friends List. Then you moved on to Lemons for Leukemia. Tell us a little bit about that origin story. Like every hero, you have to have one. And so give us the hero origin story for you when it comes to Live for Another.
Yeah. So it's interesting because the My Best Friends List thing is probably what a lot of people might recognize the story from. But I think this journey sort of started for me earlier than that. So basically when I was a kid, I was a normal kid, like nothing crazy was going on, until my best friend was diagnosed with cancer. This happened in fifth grade. And we kind of, I mean, that was a very difficult time for a lot of reasons, but we were young, so we didn't fully realize what was happening. But I just remember spending a lot of time in the hospital with him playing a whole bunch of video games. And that stuck with me, as just a fun experience, which is like a weird thing to say. You know, he's in the hospital for like 3 months, so it's weird to say that it was fun. But it was kind of an excuse to just play video games all day after school. And it just brought us closer together. And my friendship with him was made very strong by that period. Eventually that kicked off into, I guess, my passion these days. So in high school, basically like all high school students are looking for things to put on their resume, things to put on their college application, to try and get into a good college. And I was one of those people. I was looking for volunteer opportunities, especially, to try and stand out. And I tried a lot of things nearby, volunteering at the hospital, homeless shelters, things like that. And I hated it. Like, it was so boring. And there were so many situations where, because I was under 18 at the time, that meant I was sort of in the back room doing the paperwork, doing the busy work. And it made me not like helping other people because it was so boring. And I guess I just have, I don't know. I don't even remember exactly like with the moment I decided, but at one moment I thought, this is stupid. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'll make my own charity. That'll definitely get me into a good college and I'll probably have a lot more fun doing it. So I reflected back on the time with my friend and realized like, okay, I like video games. Why don't I start a charity that brings video games to kids in the hospital? It just felt like something that was, you know, part of my life story. So I kind of convinced my friends, we did a bunch of Googling, we probably filled out the IRS paperwork wrong, but nonetheless, we still received our charity status. And that organization, it's called Gamers Gift. We've been running that since 2015, started my junior year of high school. And I learned a whole lot from that. I could talk for days about some of the experiences there, but ultimately it became a very fulfilling experience for me. And I took it into college. I did, you know, I was very proud of the colleges I got into. And once I got there, I'm like, hey, let's keep growing this thing. You know, I'm surrounded by these sort of like big kids now. Now we can really take this to the next level and we can all continue the idea of, we all like video games. We're all trying to, now at this point, trying to get a good job, right? Once we graduate college, let's use this as kind of like a playground to test out these things that we're learning. So we did that. It continued to grow. It was incredible. Something I'm super proud of. But then in 2017, my friend called me again, just like he did in fifth grade, and told me that his cancer was back. He had been in remission for, I don't know, at that point, like 10 years. But it was back, and they had a terminal diagnosis this time. He was given 1 to 2 years to live. And I just remember thinking, you know, this is somebody who had inspired this organization. Even beyond that, he's my friend, right? So that sucks. That's unfortunate. You never want to hear that. But I was in the middle of doing my homework when this call happened, and the call ended, and then I was just kind of staring at macroeconomic trends. And I'm like, what? This isn't something that I can't do school while he is dying, right? Like,
sure.
So I called him back and said, hey, why don't I drop out of college, you quit your job, let's try and make a bucket list. We didn't even have a bucket list, but let's make one and try and pursue it. We put together a little video, we put together a little website, basically everything I learned from the organization Gamers Gift. I was like, oh, people love websites, let's put one together. Sure. Tried it all out, and then it went insanely stupid viral. To the point where at one point, like, we were getting emails from people in Czechoslovakia. We didn't know what they were saying, but we got them. and ultimately, a lot of our bucket list dreams became a reality, became possible. Things like backflipping in helicopters, meeting Danny DeVito. We at one point we got a tour of SpaceX, which was the closest we would get to our bucket list dream of going to space.
Nice.
Yeah. And we just did all these really incredible things that we honestly never expected to happen. And it was made possible because people across the internet really were responding to our website and our videos, and they wanted to be a part of it, and they fulfilled a lot of crazy dreams. But of course the reality was he still had cancer. So it was always on the back of our mind. And then we were kind of looking at our bucket list. Number four was to break a world record. And so at this point, our egos were growing, and we said, you know what, let's try to break the world record for the world's biggest bone marrow donor signup drive. He had leukemia. So for him, it was kind of, hey, you have 1 to 2 years to live unless you happen to find a perfect genetic match.
Okay,
so yeah. For us, we were like, well, let's break a world record and try to hack the statistics. They're telling you it's probably not going to happen, but hey, you know what? We're naive and we're going to give it a shot. So basically my best friend's list had then become a campaign to try and break this world record. We put together Lemons for Leukemia. It was kind of like an ice bucket style challenge. And that blew up as well. We were on Good Morning America. Dwayne The Rock Johnson did it. Bunch of people, a lot of internet content creators as well. It's kind of where a lot of it happened, but that also went viral. And so many random people were now doing our Lemons for Leukemia challenge. Like my favorite one is just some kid that's just obviously like in his bedroom and like probably stole the lemon from his kitchen to go do this thing. It was just so beautiful. But yeah, it was all to try and break the world record. And ultimately we did. Over 13,000 people, they signed up to join the bone marrow registry.
Wow.
Which is a mind-blowing number. That was 13,000 people that basically signed up for an outpatient procedure to donate an organ, which sure. is crazy. And then eventually we found out the news that of all of those offers to donate bone marrow, it led to 20 people, cancer patients who had found bone marrow matches because of us. And then eventually we come to find out that one of those 20 was actually my friend Chris, and our silly videos, our silly website, and sort of our being genuine turned into us actually hacking the statistics and beating the odds. And it completely blew me away in so many different ways. It was like our YouTube subscribers saved someone's life. it's kind of the way I conceptualize it. Yeah. It's just fascinating that these numbers turned into really extraordinary real life outcome. It's pretty mind blowing. Sorry, now, that was a long story.
No, that's great, man. he beat cancer a second time and is currently living in remission again. And yep. That's amazing that you guys were able to, you know, kind of, like you said, hack the system. You change the way that people look at it. Most people, you know, they're just kind of sitting around and they're waiting. And you guys actually went out and did something that made a difference, not only in the situation that you were trying to change, but then you changed the lives of others. And in those first two projects, what did that teach you when it comes to how you can make an impact? And then how did all of that come together and kind of transform into Live for Another?
Really, the transformation started when my friend and I, we have a pretty terrible sense of humor. So there was a lot of like, why is anyone doing this for us? We're complete dweebs, you know, like we're losers. Very self-deprecating. But it also, it helped us to really appreciate it. And it also kind of spawned this idea of like, wow, if we could turn around this response that we're getting, these hundreds of millions of views that people are sending our way and these contributions, et cetera, if we could turn that to help someone else, that would be awesome. Because quite honestly, like we really don't deserve this. We're kind of scumbags. So we started to try and do that. We started to keep an eye out for other cancer patients that were kind of had similar stories. And really the big moment was I was just scrolling through Reddit, which is where a lot of people saw our story, okay. Interestingly. But I saw a picture of this girl who, it was her 21st birthday. She was battling cancer, but she was in a hospital bed big bald head, but a giant smile. And I was, something about it was just really compelling to me. And I was like, that's the person, that's who we're going to help, right? That's like, that's who deserves this more than we do. So I, like a complete madman, I sent her a message and said like, hey, want a bucket list. It was like, no, totally nonsense message. Surprisingly, she responded to, and she didn't have a bucket list, but we put one together. I told her like what we learned creating ours, some big like dreams, things like that. And you know, we just started putting a portion of what people were donating to us to help us fulfill our bucket list. We would just kind of use it to help her instead. And yeah, we started off small with some of her bucket list items. Play with a pile of puppies, meet a cheetah, swim with dolphins, paint a mural, all of these things, which was awesome. She's from Ohio too, which I always I love, because it's fun to be able to say that like our community has flown someone across the country to do once in a lifetime moments. It really excites me that our community is able to do that. But ultimately, like, I learned that, I reflected on sort of the Gamers Gift organization, what we were doing then with her, the fact that now my friend was sort of retiring, for lack of a better way to say it. You know, he beat cancer. It was time to be a normal person for once and not running this crazy organization. And so there was just a lot of sort of reflection, right? And I was like, okay, I want to keep doing this, because this is awesome that we're able to do this for this girl. And, you know, we kind of kept looking out for like cancer patients and things like this. But it felt weird to put like these limits on like who we were helping. And I don't know, it wasn't like a sudden moment where we're like, oh, I'll live for another. Really, it was a gradual experience that when I have a spark of inspiration, right, when I'm have my shower thoughts or my driving at night thoughts, you know, like these spontaneous moments of like inspiration, they just happen to be about interesting ways to help people. And that's what I'm passionate about. And that is something that like is fun for me to work on. And we have experience. So let's put together a movement that is all about having fun, helping other people. And then that kind of turned into, I think for me, it's kind of a coping mechanism, for lack of a better way to say it. That sounds really dramatic, but, you know, helping other people, like I said at the beginning, was it sort of helps me build a legacy, things that are important to me. It's a selfish reason. What if we can create content that kind of tells people that, hey, it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to just helping other people. Again, doesn't need to be this super specific thing. Like, let's just have fun with this. Let's come up with creative ways. Let's get weird with it. Let's create an organization that is about helping other people's in a fun way. And a big part for me too is the internet, using the internet to make it happen. I'm very much introverted, so I want people like me to be able to have an outlet to make a big difference in the world, I guess. So ultimately, that's what Live for Another is now, that I just learned through all these really crazy life moments, is that helping people can be fun, and we're trying to facilitate it for people across the world in all the creative ways we come up with helping other people.
Now, at this point, you've gone way beyond My Best Friend's List and Lemons for Leukemia. What are some of the current projects that you guys have going on right now?
Yeah, so, man, COVID makes things very difficult. You know, the existence that is 2020. But one thing that I'm so glad we were able to make happen before the pandemic started, you know, so Gamers Gift, that was the organization in 2015. I continue to be running that. It's a separate legal and operational entity, but it's very much an inspiration for me. And a lot of people that I've spoke to since starting and running that organization, there's a lot of sort of like praise thrown my way when they realize that I spend so much time visiting kids in the hospital, which in the context of Live for Another, the response is like, guys, I just like video games, and like this is interesting. This is an excuse for me to like spend a bunch of time testing out virtual reality headsets, right? Like, I'm not some wholesome thing entity, you know. So we kind of took that and turned it around, and we said, what if we showed our viewers that, like, we're not better than them because we do these things. We just happen to have the resources to do it. What if we gave them the resources? And so basically we went to GameStop. We spent a stupid amount of money on video game consoles. And we said, hey, viewers, we have this pile of 30 PlayStations, all these items. Email me and we will come to you with these video games and we will fit a children's hospital near you. All you need to do is send me an email. I'll do all the rest of the work. And they did. A bunch of people did. A lot of people that we weren't able to visit, unfortunately. We tried to make a detour up to Canada, but there was a lot of... turns out you can't really bring that... it's difficult to bring that much stuff across borders. It's dangerous. Sure. Risky. But ultimately, yeah, we packed up 15 suitcases full of video game consoles and we traveled across the country visiting children's hospitals. And it ended up being... We visited 7 different hospitals in 7 different states in 7 days. And it was insane. The sleep deprivation just got worse and worse throughout the entire trip. But it really beautifully showed, like, even if you're sleep deprived, you can still visit kids in the hospital. And sure. The goal was kind of to, like, normalize it. You know, we did so many in such a short amount of time. We wanted to show that it's nothing spectacular. Not that these moments aren't beautiful, because there's tons of beautiful moments in that project, but it's possible to it doesn't need to be some grand thing. You know, you just get out there and do it kind of thing. If you can, if not, send me an email. So we filmed the entire thing, bunch of footage. So at the moment it's kind of just editing that down. We didn't want to release it kind of in, you know, COVID, but at this point COVID is eternal. So we're aiming to get it out at the beginning of 2021. Hopefully a little spark of sort of inspiration for people. And every time I watch that footage, it just brings joy, because it's such a beautiful representation of, like, our audience coming together for something really extraordinary.
Now, Dylan, what advice do you have for somebody who has a socialpreneurial spirit within them that they haven't figured out how to unleash just yet?
I say just give it a try. I've learned that whenever I try something or pitch it to someone else and they say that it's, like, not possible or that it's ridiculous or silly, those are usually the best ideas. Those people are often right. It is a bad idea, but you learn why it is a bad idea, and you learn, like, what part of your mental process is weak and causes it to be a bad idea. It's like learning your process, and it all comes down to just trying stuff. You know, we've done some really dumb things, but they're fun, right? And it's just a part of the journey, and it's part of the story too. You know, it's, you try something, it's stupid, that just makes the next thing, when it succeeds, even more interesting, because you're a flawed character.
Now, taking a look at all of the things that you've done, all the projects that you've been a part of, all of the kind of inspirational things, all of the activities, obviously you're going to have some things that you might describe as a failure. Of those, what would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned thus far through all of those things that you guys have done?
It wasn't one particular event. There was a period in time that was several months where when my friend, because he had entered remission, was kind of, like, leaving, you know, he was going into retirement. I was kind of left alone in a lot of ways. And I came to find out that that was, like, a sore spot for me, is, like, this feeling of kind of being in it alone. And so a lot of what I was making, I kind of forgot what was important about it. And it was kind of a lot of whining. It's a lot of, like, I was kind of too honest in a way, in that Live for Another was at the time I thought it was an outlet for me, but what I realized is it's kind of like a character for me, in that I focus on Live for Another, and, like, Live for Another it's almost like I'm the audience of Live for Another, just like the audience is the audience. It's very conceptual. But yeah, ultimately I realized like working on this, I kind of need to listen to my own advice ultimately is what it came down to. And I had forgotten my own advice. I had forgotten that I do, like, even if, you know, I'm going through a tough time, even if I feel alone, all these different things, like, as long as you are still trying, you're a good person, you're making an impact. And I think, yeah, I just needed to remind myself to listen to the things that I was trying to say. And just keep going, you know.
Now, what resources do you have at your disposal that are helping to guide you in building Live for Another? Are there any books or podcasts or a business coach, anything like that that's helping you succeed in what you're doing?
A big breakthrough for me in sort of the inspiration department was everyone online claims to be an expert. And so when you're trying to learn how to do something, there's a lot of like, oh, if I just follow this ultimate guide, I'll be a master at it and go big, you know. But then eventually you start to realize that there's more than one ultimate guide and they don't say the same exact thing. And so you're kind of like, wait a second. What I've learned is where to gather sources of inspiration, kind of meta level. But that's what's been really big for me is understanding that not everything needs to be motivating or inspirational to you. And understanding where specific things like kind of fit into the process. So, you know, I watch a lot of movies. Movies help me learn specifically how to communicate our mission better through video and sort of like the documentary filmmaking side of things. Whereas I might read The Ultimate Guide to Google Ads and learn, okay, this is the marketing funnel and this is how you get people's attention. And ultimately, like, there's no just little nuggets of information everywhere. And it sort of piecing them together in such a way that it makes sense. That's not an answer that someone can buy on Amazon, but.
Now, it's not just you that's doing all this. You list yourself for Live for Another as the director of Astonishment, and you have a team that works with you. How were you able to find and build an effective team and lead them to do so much good?
I think I've just been really lucky, honestly. So like a great example is Joel and Drew, who I realized earlier there's a typo on the website. They're not brothers, like the website would lead you to believe. But they were like one of the first people that I saw a video that they posted on Reddit that was completely unrelated to any kindness or anything. I reached out to them. We sat down, we had coffee, and I was just extremely lucky in that they heard the call and were interested in doing it and had the skills to elevate it to the next level. I don't think there's really a secret ingredient, secret sauce there. I think just being honest with people and being frank with them and like, that's what's been helpful for me. You know, like a lot of these people, I'll reach out and be like, hey man, listen, I would love to work with you. I'm not going to be able to feed your family at the moment, but we're going to make sure you get compensated for your time. Right. We're not going to become rich together, but I could tell you that like, if you're in a position where you want to think of ideas and execute them, no matter how big they are, let's do that. And then maybe in 5 years, we'll be able to afford it. I don't know, you know, like just being honest with people and upfront.
Sure.
And then you find genuine people that are in it for, well, really they're just in it for the same reason you are, you know, I've been upfront with them and they've been upfront with me and it turns out we're on the same page. Great. Let's make some magic happen.
Now in your wildest dreams, where is it that you want to take this and what are you doing to get you there?
I would love to be in a situation where I don't have to schedule big ideas for 6 months in the future. I would love to be able to just do them. So a great example of that is, in 2019, there was this, and even 2020, but mainly 2019, a big social media challenge called Trash Tag, where basically you take a before picture of a bunch of trash at like a river, a park, you clean it all up, and then you take an after picture, and you see the transformation that an individual made in their community. And I love seeing those. Somehow for me, that idea turned into creating the world's biggest trash can, which we've already blueprinted out. We've already mapped it out. It would be 3 stories tall. It would need to be modular, broken down, built back up so that ultimately we can drive around the country on a road trip, okay, picking up trash to fill the world's biggest trash can. Turns out that would not, you know, that's not something I can just up and do. That level of material is extremely difficult to afford, produce, and implement. But I would love to reach the point where our community is big enough to where ideas like that can happen without needing to be really scrappy to make it happen. I would love to be able to execute more ideas like that, where people that see it on the screen, they see our projects on the screen, suddenly become a part of it. I would like more opportunities like that. As far as getting there, I think it's just big thing for me is consistency. I think is, you know, it's great to have these really big, giant ideas, but if you're not working on the building blocks to get there, then they're never going to happen. So we've been working on trying to get better at making like smaller content and being satisfied with smaller things that aren't as grand.
Okay. Yeah.
And being content with that, because you can't always break world records. Sometimes you got to have a one-on-one conversation, or, you know, like something smaller, something simpler to spread it. Yeah.
So as a guest for our bonus episodes, you don't live here in St. Pete. Share with us a little bit of your geographic history, where you're from, any place you've moved or lived. I understand now you're in Sacramento, but kind of give us like a quick geographic history for you.
Yeah. Well, I've pretty much always lived here in Sacramento. I commuted to a college about 45 minutes out of here. So I don't know if there's anything particularly interesting, but I do have an interesting project that relates to geography.
Okay.
So following a big breakup, we were together for a really long time. So it was big in that it was heartbreaking. Right. I guess that kind of naturally led to rely on the concept of live for another a lot more. And I was like, okay, I really need to do something big here to prove that I'm a big boy, you know, and I can get through this. So I came up with the idea of throwing a dart at a map. Wherever it lands, I will live at that place for as long as it takes to change a stranger's life. And even more so, the idea was to delete my social media. I left my phone at home and basically went to this place, started completely new to try and prove that I can still do things by myself. And it's this map behind me on the wall, which you might notice is a map of the United States. I threw it so poorly that it landed on the outer border up on top. And I ended up in Canada, even though it wasn't on the map, it was still very much Canada. So I spent a few months in Vancouver, Canada, which isn't, you know, it's not quite an alien atmosphere by any means, but it was fascinating to be in a new place and navigating that in such a way where the big ideas still happen. It was really interesting. I learned a lot from that of just being able to like start over in a new place and what that process is. And spent, I think it was like 2.5 months in Canada working on that. So I think that's probably the most interesting geographical development in my life. Otherwise, I've always just lived in Sacramento, California.
Now, when you aren't working, what are your favorite things to do? Obviously, video games are going to be a part of it, but what are some of your hobbies, activities, things you're involved in?
Yeah, really, it's video games, movies. Before the pandemic, I was getting into board games, but you can't exactly play those often anymore. But this year, I have picked up smoking meat.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Yeah. I've been learning a lot about that. I'm making some brisket and ribs.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yep.
Now, taking a look at your calendar in 2021, what are some upcoming events or activities that you guys have upcoming that you want to make sure that listeners and viewers put on their calendars as well?
The biggest thing is not one particular calendar event, but it is Kindness Fund. And the idea behind this is we want people to, I mean, Live for Another is a movement about all of us, right? It's not just me who does these things. Like, it's really dependent on our community. And so we came up with this idea where anybody who is able to invest in the Kindness Fund means that it's basically a big pool of money. Now, what's interesting is that We have submissions up on our site where you can submit how you want the kindness fund to be spent. And then, yeah. And then we go and do that idea. So really it's kind of made for the kind of people who would like to have a positive impact in some way, but maybe they don't personally have the money, so they could borrow our community's money. Not literally borrow, but they can sort of be a part of it, suggest an idea, and then we go out and do it. But of course it wouldn't have happened without them. So it's kind of a, you know, we have the experience on executing charity ideas. Just be a part of it, suggest an idea, and if the community votes on it, then we'll make it happen.
Now, where can people find out more about your projects? I know that you guys have some merchandise, and how can they connect with you and with Live for Another? We're looking for websites, donation pages, social media handles, all of that stuff to kind of plug and connect with people and make sure that they can plug into what it is that you're doing.
liveforanother.com. Basically everything you need. We got all of our past projects on there. We're all really passionate about filmmaking, so anything we do is usually pretty well documented.
Okay.
You can find the kindness fund. You can become an investor, is what we call the people who contribute. Pretty much anything you'd need to be would be on that website.
Awesome. Dylan, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us about Live for Another. And thank you for just sharing the story and being an inspiration for others who want to spread kindness as well.
Yeah, it has been a lot of fun, and it's always great to share it, talk about it.
Hey, you did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. Hustleberg is produced by Beyond Your Side Hustle, where we help you craft an awesome strategy for your business and build a community that supports you today and in the future. We help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustle and into the business they're dreaming of. If we provided you with something valuable with this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player, especially you Apple Podcast listeners. This is something that only takes a few seconds that will help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer and grow our community. Speaking of great businesses here in St. Pete, if you're a small business owner here and you'd like to share the story of your business with the Hustleberg community, please let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. Did you know that at Beyond Your Side Hustle, we're helping small business owners reach ideal engagement on any social media platform with a free 3-week training by email? It's available for you at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. You can also find a link for it in the show notes. Start right now to learn how you can fix your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. The opening music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. I encourage you to check him out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.